Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast Network, the leading personal finance podcast network in Singapore. I'm your host, Reggie, aka Your Chief Financial Coconut. And every Friday, you'll be joined by Max, Rakesh, Anthony, and some of our friends who are the leading voices in the investment space today as they geek out on some of the most interesting companies out there in the stock market. Once again, if you want to be super geeky and purely investment focused, do follow our other podcast feed, TFC Investors Network. All you need to do is to search on your favorite podcast platform, TFC Investors Network. For now, let's geek out.
Hello, coconuts. So in this episode of the Financial Coconut Podcast, Stock Geek Out, we actually dive into a very little known company. Not kidding, it is TSLA, Tesla. Right, so of course, I think everyone here, as you're listening, you already know Tesla has been growing at 40-50% year on year compounded. It's actually planning to grow at another 40-50% year on year. I didn't say that, but based on Elon Musk's projections, based on the delivery of their cars and also the revenue. So in this episode of Stock Geek Out, we should dive into three main things. Number one, Tesla's financials and growth. How are they able as a car company to do margins above the industry average of 20%+? Number two, how are they able to be free cash flow positive despite being so capital intensive? And last but not least, we go deeper into something that a lot of Tesla bulls all rave about Tesla but know nothing about: the valuation. So how is Tesla's valuation going to be in the next 5-6 years? Can they indeed hit the market cap of Apple, which is what Elon Musk says they will grow bigger than the largest company in the S&P? And last but not least, we'll talk a little bit, just a little bit, about Elon. Love him or hate him, he is actually the driving force for Tesla. So what if he's no longer around? How does that factor in? So all this and more inside today's Stock Geek Out episode on TSLA Tesla. Okay, hello, welcome to the Financial Coconut Podcast. My name is Max, I'll be your host for today. Alongside me, I have an amazing guest and a good friend. His name is Carl Jerry. Right, what do you think I was talking about, you? Okay, no, I'm just joking, right? His name is Carl Raymond. Okay, so hello guys, everyone meet Raymond. So, and of course, meet Jerry. So Jerry today is our, what we call the cactus guest. We'll actually use it to slap the actual guest if it's not up to date with the financials. Okay, so anyway, hello, Raymond. So I'm going to introduce Raymond probably first right now. So Raymond is actually a good friend and also a very, very fellow investor who's amazing. He's actually a growth investor, and I think today we all roughly know what we're going to talk about. So we'll just hold the suspense there. But yes, Raymond also is a full-time investor. And maybe, Raymond, you can do a quick 1-minute intro about yourself first before we dive in.
Hey guys, so I'm a full-time investor. I've been investing for almost 8 to 9 years now. And I think over the last 3-4 years, my focus is more into growth companies.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Yes. All right, so with that said, you all have met Raymond, you have met Jerry. So today, let's jump to the main content. Okay, so today, the company we're going to focus on is actually a company that is actually meant to grow, or that's actually kind of scheduled to grow at 50% compounded. And I didn't say that, it's actually said by the CEO himself. Mm. It's also a company that does quite a few number of things. They are known for electric vehicles, but they are also going to a lot of other things like full self-driving and also even more AI-related stuff and even more automated stuff. And eventually, the energy business is none other than TSLA Tesla. Okay, great. So I think it's going to be a very interesting topic for today. We're going to dive in a little bit of Tesla and a little bit of Elon Musk as well. But I think let's just start first. So how did you actually chance upon Tesla? What's the love story? Like, how did it begin? Yeah.
So interesting story, right? I first heard about Tesla actually from Ken, Chicken Genius. Some of you might know him. And I think this was back in 2018. We were just having an investor meetup, and then we just went one round. Hey, what's your top three stock? So I said like Visa, Google, and something else. And then Ken said like Tesla. And that was actually the first time I actually heard about it. To be honest, I wasn't really very much into cars, much less electric vehicle cars. And this was back in 2018. So I started to, Tesla started to appear on my radar in 2018. But back then, it was a very different stories. You know, they was facing a lot of like production hell. Numbers wasn't really good. All
right. And 2018, right?
Yeah, 2018.
They haven't really kind of went mainstream yet. Yeah. They're still loss making. Their destiny is a bit like questionable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I really, really got in, like deep dive into it and got like a sizable position. So I think I got into it like 2019, and I think 2020 during the, you know, the COVID crash in March, that was where I really went in hard. Yeah.
Okay. So like it's during the, and this was before the split, right?
Because
they had split twice so far. Yeah. One this year, one I
last
think 2020,
year. Yeah.
Right, the year before. Okay, cool. So this was way before the split. Fantastic. Okay. So I think with that said, and okay, thanks for sharing the backstory and the love story. So let's go into the numbers a little bit. So yeah. Tesla, I'm looking at the past 3 years on my spreadsheet here. It's pretty amazing. Let's talk about top line first. Revenue growth. They've been growing pretty consistently at like 40-ish, 50% on average. Of course, some quarters are higher, some quarters are lower. Like the latest quarter as we are speaking right now is November 2022. They are growing like 56% year on year.
Yep.
That is pretty insane for a company that size. Plus, Elon Musk is saying they are going to grow at least delivery and revenue-wise, compounded 50% over the next 5-6 years or so, right?
Yeah, on average.
Okay, so let's talk about the revenue growth first. How is that possible in the first place? 50%+ for such a big size company.
Yeah, I mean, still wow. Even today, I'm still amazed. Like, this is such a, almost like a miracle story happening. Yeah. And, you know, they are not, and the way, and what they are doing is actually really, it's their mission values are something that I can align with. So, and I think it boils down to maybe a few main factors. One is obviously they got a few secular trends pushing it forward, electric vehicles being one of them. And then because they are so vertically integrated and they got a, you know, really innovative leadership with Elon Musk and his management team. So that helps in everything. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So you're saying that actually it's because of the fact that EVs or electric vehicles are still early in the circular trend, which is what I know Elon also keeps saying, like the penetration is nowhere near where they can be and stuff like that, right? Okay, cool. And so later we'll go in a bit deeper into the risks of having a CEO like Elon, both from the good side and bad side. So just a teaser for the listeners or for you viewers first. Okay, so let's dive in a little bit into the numbers. The automotive sales, as I look at the financial, takes up about 80-90% of the entire revenue.
Yes.
And Elon mentions that at the end of the day, Tesla's not a car company. We are an energy company and the mission is to transition the world to renewable energy. But so, like, they are still at 80+% automotive sales. And from what I project and what I understand, the automotive sales will still take up a big portion of the sales. So in other words, aren't they a car company after all?
I think they don't see themselves as a car company. Just like Apple in the earlier years where they were selling laptops, iPhones. Are they a hardware company or software companies? So I think we can debate on it, but I think what's good is they have the vision and the plan. But I do acknowledge that for example, as of now, the revenue is based mainly from the car sales and perhaps a bit of FSD.
Yes. Right.
So so for my, you know, valuation models, I like to be a bit more conservative, like as all Singaporeans are, we always very kiasu. So let's just be very, you know, very conservative. Like just exclude everything else, all the big plans that Elon Musk have, and just focus on even just on car deliveries, you can hit the valuation that Elon Musk was talking about recently.
Okay, so you're purely using the automotive business to value and you kind of
I think that would be a good base like base validation and anything else, you know, the robot taxi, the, you know, the human right and all that will be optionalities that's good to have.
Okay.
Yeah, like bonus. If have, then great. I mean, but if don't have, you know, what other valuation are we looking at?
Understand. So I say first, later we will test the valuation model. If it's too high, we will slap Raymond one time with this. Okay. If it's too low, then okay, he's fed the rod. Okay, come. So let's go a little bit into the margins right now, right? It's actually pretty impressive for a car company. So let me just, for the listeners, in case it's you're all about the Tesla hype, but you actually know nothing about Tesla, I'm going a bit in the numbers down here because everyone's all about the Tesla hype, but actually nobody really knows what Tesla does unless you've studied. So their gross profit at a company level, at least for the last few years, is about 20+% and their automotive gross profit is about 30+% That is actually pretty awesome. for a car company that's commodity based.
Yeah. Industry leading standards. And all that with the caveat that they are still ramping up.
Yes.
So they're still, you know, not the, at the
they're
best efficiency.
Gear more towards the software service side of sales, right? So now it's still more like the hard sales and stuff, right?
So although 30% sounds like, oh my God, you are like double the next best player in the industry, but you know, more importantly is the trend of that, you know, margins are, and it's heading higher.
Got it. Can you help me like break down a little bit? How is this margin profile possible for a majority car company as of now? I know a lot of people were like kind of like flamey and say, oh, Tesla's not a car company. You don't really know what you're saying. Okay, I get it. Okay, right. But I mean, as of now, they're still mainly cars. But how are they able to achieve such margins?
I think mostly their team, they are very innovative. And they really like Elon Musk, he's famous for, you know, boiling down to first principles. Like how can I, for example, same with SpaceX, you know, like previously before that, like sending a rocket up is like so expensive, but he's able to, you know, do it. And so I, to be honest, I never really go into the tech side of things, but because their factories are so vertically integrated, right? And they don't see, like, hey, what are my competitors doing? Then I just follow suit. They just do it from scratch.
Got it, which is actually the part that was very impressive. So I'm also not sure how much, because I'm also not exactly fully in Tesla, I'm just the host here today. But I was very impressed when Elon was sharing one of the battery days, I think 2 years back or something. They are rebuilding the structural integrity of the car to have the batteries be at the base of something like that so that it saves space and they can travel longer distances.
Yeah, so it's like lighter, more durable. Like, it's like stainless steels for the newer models.
Yeah,
so it's like you don't see that in any other car companies out there.
So he's willing to just question first principles instead of like, oh, this is how cars have been built. Let's follow the conventional way. It's more like our end goal is just to get from point A to point B in using a vehicle. What is the best structure that a vehicle needs to structure like in order for it to have best fuel efficiency?
Correct. And voila, it's like if you do it from that approach, right, without looking at what's the conventional view, then you are not bogged down by, you know, how people built a bridge previously or how people built a car previously and then this is how we should build a new car.
Okay, that is really impressive. I have to give it to Elon down there. Should we talk about Twitter? Okay, no lah. We can talk about Twitter, okay? Because I know he just bought Twitter. Okay, but anyway, let's go a bit deeper into. So I'll just do a quick recap for the listeners listening. So their gross profits about 20-ish plus percent. Their adjusted EBITDA, which from a financial lingo point of view, is called the adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization. Basically, that's the operating income but adjusted. It's also about 20-ish percent, which is amazing for a car company. Okay, here is the part that really blew my socks off. Okay, I'm not wearing any socks, but that's why it got blew off. Okay, right. I'm going to slap myself for a stupid joke. Okay, very cool. Okay, so the free cash flow is actually pretty awesome. The free cash flow, it's, let me just double check my numbers, 3.3 billion in the latest quarter, which is Q3 2022, right?
Yeah. So okay. I think there's this, I think a lot have changed over the last, you know, 5-6 quarters or the last 1-2 years.
Yeah.
So they went from a company that is non-profitable yet, not yet, you know, building up cash flow to a company that is perhaps one of the, like their balance sheet is one of the strongest right now.
Yes.
I think it's on par with Google and even better than Amazon, Facebook, and your big players.
How is that possible? Because of the fact, so that's the thing that, because obviously I didn't study as deeply as you, they have to build giga factories. The capex is obviously higher than a Google or a Meta or what have you. But yet the free cash flow is 3.3 billion in a quarter. Is this sustainable or how is this achievable?
I just put it down to Elon Musk's brilliance. And of course, not just him, but his team also. He got the best engineers, best scientists in the team. With Tesla, and so they got the best capabilities there, and I think they are very good at capital, being a capital allocator. So much more so than the other big techs.
So based on what I'm hearing so far, is it true that they will continue to be free cash flow positive moving forward? Is that what they declare?
Seems
as well?
Like it. Yeah. Okay. Although that isn't a focus, but I think the CFO did mention that it's good to have a buffer lah.
Yeah.
And I mean, with macros and all that, it's always good to have a solid buffer. And I think he specifically mentioned like not to that. He exactly said that, but I think the meaning is like even the world go to shit next year in 2023.
Yeah.
Tesla will still be here.
Okay, because of the cash buffer, right? That is actually, objectively speaking, genuinely quite impressive for a car company, which normally they have high capex, and given the rate that they're expanding, it's very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, like, they just built, like, two new factories like over the last 1-2 years. So, you know, that is capital intensive. Mm. And yet, despite of that, they still are able to show one of the best balance sheet and financial numbers.
Nice. So, okay, so based off capital intensity, right, I'm going to go in a bit deeper. Let's talk about deliveries. Okay, so deliveries, I think down here, the bulk of their main deliveries and focus is mainly coming from the Model 3 and the Model Y, right? Mm. Which is mainly the bulk of deliveries. I just give a quick recap for the listeners or the viewers. The recent quarter, they did 325,000 deliveries in a quarter of the Model 3 / Model Y. The last quarter, which is quarter 2, 2022, because the recent quarter is quarter 3, 2022. Last quarter, they did 238,000. This quarter, they did 325,000. So it grew by like a close to 36% in the quarter. The year before, in the same quarter, quarter three, they did 230,000. So it's also a very impressive 40% growth.
Very impressive numbers. And this is considering 50% of their factories, 2 out of 4, is like have not yet ramping up.
Yes.
Yeah, Berlin and Texas.
And even the Shanghai one had some issues
last quarter because of the COVID lockdowns and all that. So in the short term, I think there are some, you know, challenges, unexpected challenges. Yeah. But I think despite that, they are still on track for this year. I think the management team stated that if at Q4 nothing special happened, they should be on track for the 50% growth rate, which is like 1.5 million deliveries.
How is this amount of production and delivery possible? The reason I'm asking that is like, you know, supply chain issues, there are stuff going on.
It's like
right
this
now.
Is like building cars is like one of the, you know, hardest because there's like so many different parts and all that.
Yeah.
So I think along the way, I think Elon Musk and his team realized that also. And of course, if they can, they try to trim it down so that they don't have to have so many dependency on external players. By and large, they're still, they will be affected by, you know, their suppliers, the battery lithium, and I think also inflation and the bankers deliveries and all that. So for example, if like the world is on lockdown and they cannot ship their cars or that, so in the short term, there will be some, you know, things that are external factors that are out of their control.
Okay.
But for by and large, I would say, you know, they are right up there.
Okay, understood. So speaking of car deliveries, which is where Elon is actually very, very confident. And, you know, I recall the latest earnings call. I was just listening to it a few days back preparing for this. The phrase that caught my eye was pedal to the metal. Right?
Yeah. I think that's an American phrase. Yeah, I learned a new phrase also.
You want to ramp, step full acceleration to the production. Mm. And he even feels that 50% compounded yearly growth in production and delivery is possible.
Mm.
So that is actually like quite mind-blowing for a car company and for these kinds of commodity products. Whereas, I wouldn't say Tesla's a commodity, but cars are not exactly like software and stuff, like more hard features. Yeah.
So I think that's where most of the Tesla investors get excited because if you compound that number, so let's say this year, let's say assuming they're on track for 1.5 million, because we just left 2 months left, 1.5 million vehicles, and you compound that by 50% over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
And even you factor in some kind of growth decline to be conservative.
Yeah.
So maybe like 50%, you go down to 48%, 42%, 38% over the next 5 years, you will still reach close to 10 million in by 2027.
Okay. And then my guess is from that 10 million, you actually use like an average mass market price point and then use a certain margin and then you put a multiple on it and then you look at what's the market cap now and market cap in future to work back.
Yeah, this will give you a very rough, by the back, you know, of the back of the napkin mats to give you some rough valuations.
Okay.
You can do that. Yeah.
You okay if we do that later? Just checking. Sure. Okay. I kind of brief you first so you don't so stress. Okay. So we'll do this back of the napkin math on the whiteboard here later. Okay. But I think, okay. So I love where we're going with this, right? So I want to talk a little bit right now about one thing, which is 3 letters, FSD, full self-driving. So they are actually ramping up FSD. Apparently Elon said to the mass market this quarter or trying to ramp it up.
End of this year.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go a bit about FSD. So I just want to be upfront here. I'm not an Elon fan. I mean, I don't hate him. I'm just neutral. And likewise, I don't know anything about the tech.
Mm.
So to me, it blows my mind, and I don't see the possibility how FSD can be rolled out so quickly. And even the future plan is the robo taxi thing, which is what he was talking about, right? So, can you talk a bit about FSD? What's the potential there that you see? Yeah.
Just use layman perspective. So I think in Singapore, maybe not so much, but I think if you're overseas and then you need to drive like 1 hour, 1.5 hour to work or to pick up your kids. And if you can just, you know, don't need to drive, you can just sleep inside or read a book, watch a movie. What's the value that you are willing to pay? You know, let's say on a month, how much max, how much will you pay for this? Let's say you are stationed in US and then or China and then you need to travel 30 minutes to work. So it's a round trip, it's 1 hour. Yeah. And during this 1 hour, let's say FSD is really 99.999% or 100x better than, you know, human driving. All right, how much will you pay for it? So safety, obviously, 10 times better than we drive ourselves. And then, you know, that's freed up your time. How much time is it worth to eat your dinner in your car? You know, maybe watch a movie, you know, listen to your podcast. And
I'll just check, the eventual goal for FSD to be also within the car's functionalities for the Model 3, right?
Yeah.
And yet,
Model Y, yeah.
Model 3, will you have as FSD also?
I think all of it will have.
They will aim for that, yeah. Right? And his aim for the price point, I recall, is about 25,000-30,000 grand, is it? For mass market?
I think from... that is projections, but yeah. Maybe for now, yeah. I think based on September or October, we are selling at 15K.
Okay.
Yeah, annual.
Okay. Understood. So yeah. Actually, despite the value add, the car is still considered pretty affordable. And then what we call the scrap value, the residual value, is higher than a normal other types of cars,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty amazing. So here's my question for your valuations before we go into that. You didn't factor in any of these FSD, anything else. It's just pure car sales.
I factor in like 50% take rate for the FSD.
Okay.
At quite a conservative price.
Interesting. Okay, so you did factor that in. Yeah. Okay, so later we'll map that on the whiteboard. Yeah. Okay, Ken, fantastic. Thanks for sharing that.
But we could take it out also. Like, I mean, to be, or you can. So the good thing about valuation is you can adjust the variables based on what you deem to be, you know, viable, realistic, and conservative.
Okay, got it. So I do a quick recap so far of the financials. So Tesla is a company growing 40-50% year on year. It's also projected to grow 40-50% year on year. Not I say one, but the CEO said so. That's number one. Number two, their margins are way above average the industry in terms of 20-ish plus percent and also projected to go higher. Number three, they got free cash flow and they're positive and they're also projected to go positive. Okay, so let's go qualitative right now. What are the one to two things that you actually feel this is the qualitative strength of Tesla?
I mean, there are a lot of like qualitative factors. Yeah. I mean, the usual you grow companies, but I think secular trends will be one of them.
Okay.
So they are at the crossroad, the S-curve of a lot of like trends. So EV is one of them, AI, you know, robot taxis, humanoid robots. And of course, there's one, so secular trends. And the other one will be, I guess, the leadership team in Elon Musk.
Okay.
So Elon Musk is not just a brilliant guy who is like genius, but also I think he's good at management. Like, you know, you need to juggle all the brilliant minds together because when you put all the brilliant minds together, you need to give them the space to do what they want. They do best.
Okay, so the two things based on what I'm hearing is number one, the circular trend of green energy or like renewable EVs, right?
Yeah.
Number two is Elon's leadership quality and his team, right? So actually, I'm going to push back a bit
and
here.
And perhaps the third one will be being an excellent capital allocator.
Okay, but the capital allocation, it's also... got it. Actually, that one I agree. So the capital
because
allocation...
Because right now, if you look at their financials, they got a lot of money. Then, of course, it's easy. Like, if you're like Google or Apple with lots of money, don't know what to do, then you got a lot of other bets, right? But if you are going to go bankrupt next month, like back in a few years ago in 2018, 2017, knowing what's the next few steps to do with the capital, I think it's really... it's a good skill to have.
Okay. So, but here's my pushback, right? So you see, the green energy circular trend, every company also, okay, I'm simplifying, but companies, certain car companies can also try and take advantage of it, which is what's happening now. So that one is like maybe a factor that everyone gets to benefit from due to the circular trend. So then wouldn't the main thing actually be Elon, based on what you're saying, that the main difference would be Elon and the team?
So there's a few, so to dive down in what you just said, I think there's a few factors at play here. So one, I think, will be counter positioning for the other companies. So for example, we can use Nokia and Apple as example.
Okay.
Back then when Apple was doing iPhone and then once it got past the, it's probably just just for kids or what, people were really buying it into the touchscreen model or that. Nokia knows, right? Why couldn't they do it? Or not just Nokia, but any other phone companies also. because if they, so there are two, we call these legacy players or like traditional players, they are too bogged down with the corporate structure and into what they are currently doing. And for them to, you know, do up a totally new version, for example, like if Ford or General Motors, they are really doing their current cars production. And for them to do a totally new one, they will be cannibalizing their own and they don't have the room to do that because they are like living day to day, quarter to quarter.
Yep.
Yeah, and then they just want to make the sales. So if they were to do that, they can't think long term, basically.
So the DNA and structure of the company is actually not lending itself for the innovation.
Yeah.
Right. Actually, this is very similar to that. There's this book I read like some time back. I think it's by this guy called Clayton Christensen.
Mm.
And he talks, he's a professor, but I think he passed away. It talks about innovation. It's actually the reason why a lot of big companies fail to actually keep up with disruptive technology.
Yeah.
It's because the way the business is structured lends itself for them to be milking their cash cows,
yeah,
which normally is the stable businesses.
Correct. So you just think from maybe the soccer analogy, once you're ahead, right, as these big players, you got your modes and positioning ready. You are playing
soccer,
defensive.
Soccer. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, so let's say you're 2-0 out in a match. And then you're just playing defensively, trying not to, you know, lose the lead. Yeah, as with some of these players, that's what they are doing. And if you're doing that, you're not playing offense. You're not thinking about the next thing, the next wave. You know, you're not thinking long term. You're just thinking, how can I survive the next 1-2 quarters?
Mm.
Yeah, okay. So...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think, yeah, so you can say it's a mindset, or I'm not sure what's the right word, but basically the mentality is not the best for cultivating innovation.
Okay, understood. So yeah, the culture act of the DNA of the company actually plays a part.
And that's very important because it trans down into, like, for example, then the best talents, do they want to work at General Motors or do they, the best engineers, do they just want to go General Motors and do what is, you know, like, hey, you just come here and do whatever we are doing already? Okay. Or do you want to, you know, do something new like at Tesla?
So then I'm going to go in deeper, which lends me to this question, which I have seen YouTubers, very well-known Tesla bulls talk about it as well, which is Elon. Dun, 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 dun. What if accident happens and he's no longer the Tesla frontman? Right. So key man risk, which is what we call in the investing world.
Yeah.
I've seen videos by, you know, Dave Lee. I've seen videos that, it's fine. The bench has, you know, good leadership and everything. But from what you're saying, Elon's vision and his ability to actually lead the team and even his brand name is actually helping the reputation for Tesla to pull in engineers, which is how they pull in talent. So what if Elon's no longer around? But would that actually affect the qualitative side of things? Yeah,
I guess... In long story short, I think there will certainly be a bit of impact. I think the more important question is how big of that impact is. So I think if we were to look at previous cases, right, like a good one, maybe Steve Jobs with Apple. Yeah, so I think when he passed on, I think Apple was enough into their runway such that, you know, Tim Cook can just, their number two can just, you know, just keep things moving ahead. Yeah, and then just change it into cash cow. So I do think that if perhaps Steve Jobs back then, you know, was still around for a longer period, you know, Apple could have, you know, grown and took advantage of, you know, more of the stuff or of the latest trend. So yeah, definitely, I think there will definitely be a certain impact.
Mm.
Yeah. So I thought about this quite a bit, and I think my thoughts is just every single day he's still around, and it's a good thing for Tesla. And just, we are just pushing the, you know, for example, if he were to leave 5 years later or 3 years later, the impact will not be as, you know, as critical as during the early stage.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I think we are reaching the point where his day-to-day or his impact, if he were to leave, will not be as...
Have we reached or haven't yet? In your opinion,
I think we are reaching.
That tipping point.
I think we are reaching. Or we just reach and we are just, you know... I think there isn't a, like, you know, sweet spot whereby this is... Or yes or no, like it will be a period of time. And I think we have reached that period because if you think about it, right, the danger days are gone. You know, it's not like, hey, can we pay our employees next quarter? So the bankruptcy days, the production hell are gone. And like now we are heading into the more, you know, right now we have free cash flow, balance sheet is the strongest in the world. Production is on track. Everything is on track.
Okay.
Yeah. So if Elon were to take a break, to focus on Twitter for whatsoever. So you realize that he also have that. This is how I see it. Like, he have that space also. He realized that with SpaceX and Tesla, it's like, hey, things are going well. I don't need to be on the factory sleeping at the couch all the time already. Okay. So I can, you know, do some Twitter thing or whatever.
Okay.
So yeah, I think the impact is, the key man risk that we're talking about here is not as great. And this key man risk will only get lesser as we progress over the next few years.
Elon strikes me as a guy who, I'm not sure whether he openly admitted this or so, like he has ADHD or something. Like
I think he
needs
it.
To do things. Yeah. Because let's face it, I think being Tesla CEO is a shit lot of work and stress. Yeah. But he used to go buy Twitter, like nothing better to do.
Yeah, precisely. Like I think
I should slap him with this, with Jerry, right?
Yeah, being just Tesla's CEO is for anyone will be, or any billionaires out there will be crazy enough. Okay. Being the CEO of two companies, SpaceX. And then he got like other companies like Boring.
Yeah, the Boring
and like,
company.
And now take on Twitter. I think it's like... So I think definitely he thinks a bit differently from us.
Okay.
But there are benefits of it also.
Okay.
So for example, like, you know, SpaceX, their engineer, they can crisscross and they can share some data, help each other.
Synergies and everything.
Yeah, and then with Twitter, definitely I think there's some good side if you want to, you know, dive the conversation into there.
Can. But hold off Twitter, I think, for this conversation. Yeah. It will go way off. Okay.
Yeah.
Before we go into valuations, which I know every one of you is waiting, that's why I purposely want to keep teasing and teasing. It's coming. Before valuations, just one quick question. What, other than the cars and Elon, which is what everyone is so fanboy about, what one or two things that you feel most people miss about Tesla?
Most people miss?
Yeah, about maybe the optionality, about something that it has potentially, but most people on the street, when I say street, I mean Wall Street, or most people on YouTube don't talk about it. Yeah, in your opinion, one or two things that actually Tesla has potential for that, it could be a ace card in the hand, but people don't see.
For me, sometimes we do not know what we do not know also. Like, for example, we just use some of the biggest companies in the world right now, Google, all that. When it first started, it was just a search engine. They didn't thought they could do Android via YouTube, you know, do some maps.
Yeah,
Google Maps. So the whole idea is we don't even know. And right now, you know, we are just hearing what is being released to us.
Yeah.
Do you think that perhaps there are some other bets or other projects that's going on that is, you know, not shared yet? And down 5 to 10 years is a long time, you know, if you were to associate with like innovation, the curve. So there's a lot of optionalities that could happen.
What's the one or two optionality that you feel they actually have potential there, but people don't see, or people just not focus on that?
I think they could go on to potentially, I think when we are going a bit off tangent from reality here, it's like they could dominate the world like through different stuff. Like for example, if everyone is using the software for Tesla already, right? And then could they go on into like doing phones, all that, or like, you know, and
Phones.
Phone might not be your Apple or Android phones, but it could be the next thing. Like maybe we can link up with the Neuralink company, and then they can, maybe the next phone is like in a chip inside or something like that. Yeah. So they might have a dominant edge over there. So so I think we are going a bit off tangent here. And to be honest, I'm not sure what is like the next optionality.
Okay.
But I think what most people are missing out is the potential.
Okay.
And the usual pushback is, how can Tesla be, you know, worth more than the biggest two companies combined
now? Yeah, I know that's my issue with it also. But Elon is like, we're gonna be bigger than Apple and what's that?
Saudi
other oil company, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so but if you were to just plot it out simply like napkin mats, you realize it's possible. I won't say it's a guaranteed thing, but it's very possible.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So napkin math time, based on nice transition, thank you. Let's look at some valuations if you're okay with doing the market and stuff. Yeah, so maybe you can just walk us through how do you value Tesla. And so for all you TFC coconuts listening, I hope this is the first time we are using the whiteboard.
So I think, set the context, right? So Elon Musk in the latest Q3 earnings, he said that, you know, perhaps in the near future, Tesla will be worth more than Apple and the Saudi, the oil company.
Yeah, I know it's A something, I forgot the name already. Yeah, okay.
So I think
Aramco, yes. Oh, bad. Okay.
So that is a total, based on today's valuation, it's a total combined market cap of like 6 trillion plus.
Yeah.
6.3, 6.4. So let's give it 6.5 lah.
Okay.
Obviously, I think when Elon said it, he's not going to win it by just a bit, but let's just call it 6.5 trillion. Okay. So Elon's goal is
6.5 trillion. Fun fact for the users as Raymond is drawing. How many zeros does a trillion have? I have no idea. For you at home, count.
Right, I think there's 12? A 9 zeros, 10 zeros, 12 zeros.
Yeah, 12 zeros, not 6, not 9, 12 zeros.
Right. So, yeah, so this is the goal. And I think he purposely said that it doesn't include the Optimus, the humanoid robots.
Yeah.
Right, because that is like a bit far-fetched because I think people are interested in the timeline.
Yes.
So I think when he said that, right, that will shorten the narrow down the timeline to about perhaps before 2030.
Okay.
So maybe in the next 8 to 10 years, yep. Right, that will give us a short enough timeline that is work that we can work with.
Okay.
All right. So I think maybe we can use some back of the mat napkin. Okay. Go on. Yeah. Okay. So I think right now the average selling price of one Tesla is one car is about 50K average. Right. And the net profit, the margins, yeah. I think it's about 20%. So you make about 10K. Per car.
Okay.
Right. So I think we can.
Okay. Because you use 50K ASP, which is the average selling price, and then use 20% margin of that. Okay.
Yeah. So I think because right now we got the angle. This is the angle.
Okay.
We want to reverse engineer and see. Okay. What's the valuation we're going to give? To get this goal lah. Because when we have the valuation price, so let's use a simple.
Okay.
PE.
Okay. So you're using like a reverse kind of valuation. Okay,
yeah,
got
so
it.
This is your multiple.
To see the assumptions needed. Okay.
And then we got the price, right? Price is 6.5 trillion. So maybe Max, you say like, what is a good PE to assign to?
Don't put this pressure on me. Yeah. Later I give too low, the Tesla boost flame this video. Okay, maybe about 30-ish to 40.
I think 30-ish is conversive because I think Peter Lynch said that, what's the PE to give a company is... You just look at the growth rate. So if the growth rate is 20, I think a PE of 20 is fair.
Yeah.
If it's slightly more mature, it's not growing as well. If the growth rate is 10, then we assign a PE of 10. So if the growth rate is 50, then PE can be 50. But let's just, be conservative and use 30.
Okay, like we use 30.
Okay. Right, so this is 6.5. So back to primary school, math. So what is earnings? Right? So earnings will be...
I can't count now, but it's probably about 350 billion. 320, sorry, 200 plus billion, divide by 3, right? Yeah.
Can we use a calculator help here?
Behind the scenes, we have the founder of the Financial Coconut, who is now my human calculator. Yes, Mr. Reggie. Okay, correct. So
how
it's
much?
0.2 trillion, which is about 200 billion.
Roughly. I think it's good enough. Right.
Okay.
So, to make 200 billion, net income per year, how many cars we need to produce? Right? So, I think that is the...
I see. We use the net profit of 10,000 just now, right? Holy shit, how are we going to divide this? Okay, 200 billion divided by 10K, is it? Okay, please, can we do the math? 200 billion for my friends at home, you should be calculating.
So, I think Tesla, besides just making money from the cars, they also make from the full self-driving.
Okay.
So I did input that into my calculations.
Okay. So I think
FSD right now I think is a price at 15K. All right. So I think if you use a 50% take rate, maybe not everyone want the full self driving. Some people just like to drive.
Okay.
If you use a 50% take rate, that will give us maybe 7.5K per car.
Okay.
So that will give us 17.5K.
So which means that FSD is 15K, but you assume half of the people take it up. So that's why you just divide by 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so 17.5K.
Yeah, so one here, you make 10K per car, and maybe on average, you make about 7.5K per car.
So his handwriting a bit small.
Yeah.
But never mind. I show the users, the listeners, viewers, coconuts. 10K is basically just the car itself. Profit, right, based on the 20% or 50K average selling price point. 7.5K is the FSD, so 17.5K. Okay, cool.
Yeah, sorry for the bad handwriting.
Yeah. Hopefully you guys can follow the math. Thanks a lot, Reggie. So 17.5K, and then we had Reggie calculate for us behind the scenes 20 million cars, right?
How many cars do we need? So if we take, because we know this per car, right?
Sorry, we redo. Thank you very much. 200 billion divided by 17.5K. Interesting. Okay, so yes, this is really using a back of the napkin, working backwards to get the assumptions.
11.5 million cars, right?
11.5 million. Okay, well, actually that is not too far-fetched if you count it using these assumptions, assuming these assumptions hold true. So those of you who are listening at home, you want to learn a bit of Professor Max in the house teaching a reverse discounted cash flow. This is not it, but reverse back of napkin, that's how we actually do it. Yep, 11.5 million cars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we know, so this is the goal, right? So again, why are we doing all this is to hit the market cap of this, because if we are able to produce 11.5 million cars per year, and then we make this amount per car, okay, we should get the operating profit of this, okay, which will, based on the valuation of 30, okay, will give us a valuation of 6.5 trillion, which is what Elon Musk stated.
Okay, Ken. How many are they at production right now?
So right now on 2022, right now we're on track for 1.5 million.
Okay, so 1.5. So they need to do 11.5. So they really got a 10x production in the next 8 to 10 years. What's his time frame for this? Did he say?
No, he didn't say. Okay. But we can, you know, based on 50% growth rate, we can try to project it out, like, the runway. So maybe along the way, like, maybe you guys can help us.
Never mind, it's okay. We do it manually. More fun for
you. We do it manually. Okay.
3.3, I do for you. 10.7. So scheduled based on these assumptions, coconuts and folks, it's about, and Jerry, it's about 2028. Scheduled to hit this or maybe exceed this if you believe in these assumptions. So let me recap what the assumptions are. It's a 30 times multiple on the earnings for Tesla in the final year. It is actually 200 billion worth of profit margin that Tesla had to clock. And this 200 billion of profit margin comes from a average selling price of 50k. Though I think the selling price will come down. That's the thing that I want to push back on. But yeah, I think they will make up for it. Maybe another more.
Yeah, the operating margin might go up.
Yeah. So yes, about that. So, but we assume 50k selling price, which I think will come down. But let's assume that 20% profit margin, and then you assume 7.5k margin for the FSD.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Cool. Understood. Okay, fantastic. Let's give Raymond a big hand. Okay, but even though I can't hear the applause. Okay, yes.
So I think the next question investors or coconuts listening will be interested is, great man, if Elon Musk can really achieve this, then what is in need for us as the Tesla investors?
Yeah.
How many X do we make from this?
Yes.
You know. Yes. Yeah. So how do we calculate that? So right now, I think we can just work backwards. So the price is 6.5 trillion if we do hit in 5 or 6 years time. And right now, the market cap is about 700 billion.
Yeah.
So how many X is that?
About
10, 9, 9X?
9X,
right? Yeah, 9X, so from 700 billion to 6.5 trillion is about 9X or 10X.
9X. I just have something important to say. This is not financial advice. It's purely for entertainment purposes. Please do your own due diligence. Do not just randomly buy Tesla. Okay? So that's just a disclaimer. Okay. So I'm going to give a very important thing.
Yep.
There are also popular, prominent YouTubers, which I shall not name, that feels Tesla could go down as of right now where they are, I think $200 plus, last I checked.
Right, yeah.
Feels that Tesla could go down to $150. Okay, so what would be your pushback? Of course, we don't want to name names and stuff because everyone's subjected to their own opinions.
Right.
So, Tesla is really Tesla. Like, there's so many opinions on it.
Yeah, I think if the context of the $150 price target is in the short term, then I think, you know, in the short term, anything could happen. In the short term, the market is, based on sentiment. A voting machine.
Okay.
Yeah, so macros right now are bad. Valuations are coming down, not just for Tesla, but for all your big techs. I think like Google, Amazon, their valuations are at the lowest over the last 7 years.
So this 150 is maybe just like a macro
short term,
and then the market can just go down further.
Not because Tesla fundamentals are not good or declining or any red flags on the company per se, or the industry per se, but it's more of like the global macros. So I do acknowledge in the short term prices can be irrational. Mr. Market is always irrational on both sides. So right now when everything is bearish, share prices can go low and stay low for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, but in the long run, if the maths continue to improve, it's hard for Tesla to stay at $150 or $200.
Understood. So question for you from Mr. Jerry. I have really no idea why I named him Jerry. Should have a better name for him. Okay. Jerry's my childhood bully that I hate. Okay, so anyway, I think the big question is that, what's the risks? What are the risks for Tesla? Come on, man. This is too bullish. What are the risks?
I think we did cover the key man risks. Although I think that will just slow down the growth. Maybe slow down the projections.
Mm.
But I think the trajectory, I think, is still intact. And risks, maybe World War III, any black swan events, if the astronaut hit the Earth tomorrow.
But those are very black swan risks. So there's no specific company risk that, apart from Elon, that you feel Tesla would have in mind.
I think maybe if there's like some global political pushback on Elon or what, then, you know, like the US government decides to impose.
Do you feel the competitors could catch up? Do you feel like there are other quite worthy competitors? Because, I mean, I'm not a car person. You can obviously tell I look very nerd here, so I'm not into cars. But I have friends who are into EVs. I mean, I have this friend who's super into EVs, right, telling me that, hey, Max, actually Tesla is, in terms of the car, so he's not an investor, but you should check out this company called Xpeng, which is a Chinese company. I'm not going to go into that. But, like, hey, their quality of the EV is good.
I acknowledge.
So, and then you have NIO and all that.
Yeah,
right?
I think of the China companies, personally, I'm looking at BYD.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they
are cool company.
Producing
also
cars at scale, they are profitable, and they seem to be scaling well. So I think, you know, like Tesla doesn't have to be the only car company selling electric vehicles. For
so
example,
it's not winner takes all.
Yeah, because right now it's not about the competitors, it's about like producing as much car as like for Tesla produce, because they're selling every single car they have. And even if the competitors are like 10x better, there's still a big market to share for everyone. So giving you an example, like Apple doesn't have no need the whole world to sell to use an iPhone. China can have its own, you know, like Huawei and all that. So similarly for, I think, electric vehicles, China will have their own champion, you know, to be mass producing cheaper cars for the mass market, because and then in China, I think Tesla can stay as a, you know, a bit more premium branding.
Question for you, I mean, I'm not sure, but I know you're putting you on the spot. So just for some context for listeners, do you know what is the global cars in the industry? Like how many cars are being produced in a year worldwide?
I don't know
as
the
of now.
Like how many millions, but I think in percentage term, right? Tesla is at maybe 1% or less 1%. Than 2% of the global
fleet.
Yeah, global fleet.
Okay,
so
because that will give this some context, right? 11 million, that's the aim. I need to know the production. I mean, I don't have it with me right
now. Yeah. So even if they 10x from like 1.5 to, let's say 10x, it's just 1% to 10% or 15%. It's like, you know, it's still a very small percentage. So just imagine 10 years later or 8 years later, where the percentage of global cars you see on the road is Tesla, I think quite decent. Then we are at the market cap really of 6.5 trillion. We don't need the, you know, 90% of the world to use Tesla, to drive a Tesla.
Okay, so what you're saying really is that due to the structural trend of renewable energy, green energy, the market can take more than one player, whether it's Tesla, whether it's Xiaopeng, it's BYD. That's honestly always the funniest name. Okay, but Xpeng, BYD or NIO, the market can take multiple players.
Correct.
Okay, cool. Yes. So let me just repeat what Reggie said so that those of you who are not in the mic, you can hear. So Reggie just said that most car companies don't trade at 30, they trade at sub 10, which is correct, which is the commodity multiple. So this 30 assumption here, and which, by just to let you guys know, this 30 is considered conservative to the Tesla bulls, because I've watched a lot of Tesla bull videos, even though I'm not one. They are putting Tesla at 40, 50 times, and it's mainly because of the self-driving component and the software component. So they are putting they're putting Tesla as a kind of a semi-software company. That's what they're assuming, that kind of margins and multiple, right?
Yeah. Okay. So I think there's, even in the industry, there are multiples that you assign differently. For example, in the semiconductor companies, you have Intel at a lower margin, and then you have NVIDIA at or AMD at a higher valuation. And both are doing computer chips or, you know, chips. Why there's a discrepancy lah? So I think can be attributed to their growth rate lah. All right, so like if Intel is not growing that much, perhaps a lower multiple is fair. But I think if Tesla, car company, let's not talk about tech company or software company, but car company that's growing at a 50% growth rate, then are investors willing to pay a higher multiple, or should we use a same multiple that we assign to, you know, General Motors or Ford? Up to you coconuts to decide.
Okay, understood. Thanks for sharing. So I think I'll just do a quick roundup and recap. So it's currently growing at 40-50%. It's planning to grow at 40-50% in terms of production levels as well, based on what Elon feels is doable. And so we're going to assume a 20% margin with the FSD additional 7.5K to hit this kind of multiple, right? And then a free cash flow positive. Yeah.
Okay. I think along the way, so of course this is just a possibility projection, not guaranteed. And along the way, we definitely have to monitor the numbers lah.
Okay.
Over the next 5-6 years, you know, are we on track? Is there any decline, any yellow flags coming out?
Is Tesla the biggest position in your portfolio? You don't have to say how much, but is it the biggest holding for you? Okay, wonderful. Okay, understood. I mean, I don't own any Tesla. Do you plan to own a Tesla car in Singapore?
Probably not in Singapore.
Okay. Why? The price point?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, the value you are paying, like, half of it is you are paying the... okay. Yeah. So let's... Yeah.
He's sensitive to that. Okay, cool. Yeah, the COE. Right?
You're paying your tax. Yeah, paying tax for, you know, our country, which I think is great, but yeah.
Okay, understand. So, any... you are so not politically correct. No!
Not the best utilization of my personal money.
The government will love him. Okay, so anyway, before we end off, for our listeners, for our viewers, any words of advice for people who are considering investing in Tesla or just on the fence, what will you say? Yeah.
I think you have to do your own research and deep dive. And you have to, like, for me, I understand the bear case. I would say better than most bears. Yeah, I think if you can do that, then you can, you know, debunk the myths and all the, you know, fud around it. Fear, uncertainty, news around it.
Yeah.
And I think that's important because for Tesla, there's a lot of, especially with Elon Musk, such a charismatic character, right? There's a lot of volatility involved. Yeah, with the share price, you know, one tweet can make the price go up or down. Mm. Yeah. So if you're anchored in the numbers, in the qualitative factors, that will help, definitely. So increase your conviction. If you want. And slowly, I mean, Tesla is here and it will still be here like 6 months later. So if you are thinking of starting a position, don't need to, you know, suddenly just whack. Just slowly scale in.
Okay, that's it for you, Coconuts. Don't suddenly just whack. Okay, right. So please do your proper due diligence and make sure if you do want to actually get any Tesla, whatever, make sure this is, take note, this is just purely for entertainment purposes. It's not advice once again. All assumptions here, please make sure you do your own checks on that, right? Otherwise, thank you very much, Ray Ming, for having us. Ray Ming, where can we find you or where can the people find you at?
Yeah, I think I'm most active on Telegram channel. You can search Invest with Ray Ming.
Yep.
Same for Telegram. Same for Twitter. On Twitter, I'm Hey Ray Ming. And same for Instagram. Yeah.
Got it. So yes, you can check him out on those channels. Otherwise, this is the Financial Coconuts actually evaluating Tesla. And then say goodbye to Jerry as well and signing off. Thank you. Cheers.
Hey, Coconuts. So I hope you learned something useful today. Definitely recognize that investing is a personal decision. We are not giving you recommendations here, but are always happy to geek out with you about different interesting companies and trends for the future. This series definitely has a lot more depth than terms, and we want you to tell us what stock to analyze. So if you have any feedback or ideas, do drop us a line through our socials or email us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. See you in our next episode.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.